The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 6, Scene 6. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. On our last Curtain Call, we talked with some of the writers from Cadence Theatre's Sightlines BLM competition. This week, we're moving to Scott's Addition for Richmond Triangle Players So Queer Playwriting Festival. This is a new competitive festival of LGBTQ+ plays. One will be selected to be developed by RTP to give the play a full main stage production in a future season. They had more than 90 submissions from all over the country and selected 4 finalists. The authors of 2 of those plays are our guests on Curtain Call today. Red Wave by Ty Autry and Talmage and Ray by Andy Negraj and Jonathan Spivey. Now I'm visiting with Ty Autry down in Atlanta, who wrote Red Wave. Welcome to Curtain Call, Ty.
Thank you so much. It's fun to be here.
So first, tell us your background. How did you get to being part of this festival?
My background's in electrical engineering, which is the funny part of how So I graduated from Georgia Tech with electrical engineering, decided to say no to an engineering job, and became an apprentice at a theater company here in Georgia. And the past 5 years, I've been slowly building my repertoire from here to New York, performing mainly. But my passion for playwriting started when I did my first solo show called A Southern Fairy Tale, the story of a gay Christian growing up in the Deep South. That made me realize that I wanted to write stories about the Southern Christian queer narrative. Because for so long, that's something that I was told I couldn't be. I couldn't be a Southerner and like liberal. I couldn't be a gay man and a Christian.
So tell us a little bit about Red Wave. Does it have something to do with a communist takeover?
No, it doesn't. So Red Wave in this scenario is a semi-futuristic look of a different reality where the conservative party, the current Red Party as we see it, kind of sweeps the nation more than it did in 2016. I have actually constructed a reality where 90% of the world is queer and 10% is straight. So we look at a family in the Deep South, 2 moms and their 3 kids, and they're all gay except for their youngest daughter, Lily, and she's straight. Now, last year she came out as straight. This year she's about to go to college. It's 2015. So I look at the transition of her going to college and then also into the 2016 election. And I'm trying to figure out, why do single choice voters, people that decide abortion, gun rights, education, I mean, the list goes on, are issues that outweigh human rights issues. Where does that thinking come from? And that was the birth of Red Wave. And that's the thesis of Red Wave, even, is exploring those topics and seeing what comes of it from people having that dialogue together.
You said you're an actor, but I'm assuming you're not going to be playing that little girl.
No, I'm not. I am not. It's actually a really funny story. So Lily was actually going to be Tom, a man. But then I have some great friends of mine who were workshopping it with me and said that it'd be better if it was a female lead. Actually, I made that switch of gender a week before I submitted it to Richmond Triangle Players for So Queer Playwrights Festival.
Wow.
And the story is 10 times better with a female lead.
And why is that?
I think because I wanted to really hone in on what I consider some really important topics like abortion and the idea of having a straight man in conversation with 2 lesbians in college about abortion just did not sit right with me.
Makes sense.
Instead, now I have 3 women talking about it from different political spectrums and identity spectrums, talking about abortion, and that gives them more agency to speak authentically about it because it is their body.
So you've already recorded your workshop. So how did that go? Were you involved at all as an actor or a director, or did you just sit back and watch them mangle your beautiful words?
They didn't mangle my beautiful words. They made those beautiful words sing, baby. I wanted to step back and just be the writer because, especially for this part in the process, it's important for me to hone that language. But Melissa Folger, she's the one that's directing it. She actually was a director of mine when I was in college and I was getting my engineering degree. So it came full circle of 10 years later, we're working together in a new capacity.
So what is next with the play, whether it does or does not get selected by the festival? Do you have other plans for it?
I still plan to turn it into a full piece. I have roughly maybe 75% of it already written. And that was actually part of the challenge of this workshop, this excerpt that we're presenting online. I had to take what I had, like an hour and 30 of text, and trim it down to 45 minutes and decide what 45 minutes we wanted to showcase. One, I'm just curious what people think of, like, literally the beginning of this play is all I'm giving. It's like part of the first act. And there's a whole second act that I have semi-constructed that's the teaser for people if they want to see more.
So some people have already started watching, and I look forward to seeing yours and the other ones. And I want to wish you good luck. We've been talking with Ty Autry. Thanks for joining us on Curtain Call.
Thanks, Jerry.
I'm with Andy Nagraj and Jonathan Spivey. Welcome to Curtain Call, guys.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having us.
First of all, congratulations on being one of the finalists for the So Queer Festival.
Oh my gosh, thank you. It was a great surprise. We started writing this play about, what, 4 years ago, Andy?
That's right. Yeah. It's a great honor and a great incentive to keep working.
Give us a little background on who you are and how you came to this point in your life and career.
I grew up in a tiny town called Windsor, Virginia. Andy and I met in college at the University of Richmond.
Yeah, we had never met before, but I grew up maybe, what, like 30 miles away from you in Yorktown, Virginia. Yeah, we struck up a fast friendship in college.
Right. We met at U of R as fellow undergrads performing. Andy, you were a music major, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I was a theater major. And, you know, like a lot of music and theater departments at universities share a lot of the same students. So we performed in plenty of shows together and actually wrote our first piece together as undergrads, a musical called Murphy's Law. But this is the first piece that we've written for ourselves to perform.
Oh, so y'all planning on actually being the two actors in the roles?
We decided that we would be proactive that way and create something very specifically for ourselves that was tailored to both of our skill sets as actors and as musicians.
Andy is just a Chicago-based actor, and I've lived in New York for about 13 years, and we've been looking for a way to get back to Richmond, too. This seemed also like a great opportunity to come back home in a way.
So you wrote this long distance, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
Google Drive has been
our third writing partner.
Pretty much this whole play has been edited virtually.
And then you add into it the element of this festival where we had to record a performance of it. And so we've gotten very virtual.
The name of the play again is Talmadge and Ray. So tell me, who's playing Talmadge and who's playing Ray?
Talmadge is the choir director of the First Baptist Church of Stillwater. And Ray is the plumber who shows up to help fix his toilet.
Oh, my goodness. This sounds like a porno film.
Their first meeting is much different than Ray delivering a pizza with his shirt unbuttoned. So Talmadge has only spoken to Ray on the phone. So when Ray shows up to fix the toilet, Talmadge immediately assumes that he's perhaps a terrorist who's there to blow up the church. So from the very first meeting of these two characters, we see that they have preconceptions and assumptions about one another.
And since this is on audio, not video, let me just interrupt you and say, Andy, you should probably tell them why he thinks you maybe look like a terrorist.
So Ray and me, Andy, are both Indian American.
It's a two-way street, right? So not only does Talmadge have preconceptions and assumptions about Ray because of his ethnicity, Ray perhaps sort of has question marks about Talmadge's sexuality from their first meeting. So the two characters have to come together to accomplish a common goal.
And to find a friendship.
This sounds very lofty and very sort of political, right? This is a broad, slapstick, Barney Fife-inspired comedy. So we wanted this message of inclusion to be told in a way that both progressives and conservatives could consume without feeling like they were being personally attacked or told that they were wrong.
So how much does this mirror your own lives? Is one of you gay and one of you straight? Did that kind of play into it at all?
I was that closeted teenager in high school playing piano in my Southern Baptist church.
I map on pretty strongly to my character, and there's a lot of things that are not autobiographical.
Like, can you do plumbing?
I am horrible with home plumbing repairs. There are a lot of elements of me growing up as a person of South Asian descent in Virginia that map onto my experience of growing up in that community. Working on this piece has been a great source of clarification for a lot of my feelings about that. And we really, as actors, got to dig into our characters in a way that we never had before.
So what is next for Talmage and Ray?
That's going to be largely determined by the outcome of this festival. Our hope is that it gets full production in Richmond, and Andy and I are able to spend some more time there and catch up with folks that we haven't seen in a long time. Regardless of whether we're chosen as the, and I even hesitate to use the word winner, because all of the voices that RTP is amplifying in this format are important and deserve to be heard.
Right.
It really has inspired me that this is an important story. So I don't know specifically what's next.
If we don't get the sort of theatrical traction that we're interested in by a certain point, it would be a very easy play to adapt to a screenplay. And we're talking about that too.
Well, Andy and Jonathan, I want to thank you very much. This sounds very interesting. And I look forward to watching Talmage and Ray and seeing if it's selected.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.
Each of the finalists of the So Queer Festival presents an excerpt of their work in an online presentation, and they're available now to watch until July 29th. They can be viewed for free by anyone across the country, and viewers will be sent a survey to help determine the winner. You must watch all four to vote. Also taking part in the final decision is a local adjudication panel. You can go to soqueer.org, our Richmond Triangle's website, for more information. On the next Curtain Call, we'll have an interview with actor Alan Sader about his new role in Firehouse's upcoming Crap's Last Tape. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. Thanks for listening.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.